for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, September the 2nd, 2011. Tom Stone is the speaker of this service teaching on Beguile.
Before we start, I want to pray. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name, God. Lord, I submit myself to you right now, God. Take me out of the way, Lord, that you speak. That you speak, Father. That you set hearts free. We just thank you and praise you and glorify you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I have a good time with the men upstairs, and they get me to bawling every once in a while. So, I don't know. Yeah, right there at the end of the service, I start bawling. So, if I start break down and crying, it's not because I'm sorrowful, but it's that God can move and touch and heal and set people free. Because, you know, like I told them, I don't want to lord over anybody. But I want them to be free, that they can go and be the oracles and be the people that God wants you to be. You know, we don't all live in this one room. And you got to, one day, very shortly, that you'll be going back home. And you're going to have to take yourself. And you're going to have to enter back into your situations. But God wants to go with you. God wants to go with you. You know, the day, I'm kind of curious, George, you know, I start asking questions, why this and why that. And so I started looking at a word, beguile. And I'm looking at a lot of people in here that I don't think this word has missed at all. And so the word beguile is to influence, to beguile or mislead, delude. To take away from or by cheating or deceiving or to beguile of money. Or has anybody lost any money in anywhere, in any transactions, any person come and borrow from you and not paid you back? It says to charm or deceive, or the attractions to beguile the tourist. Have you been a tourist in this land? Have you walked into a situation and not really realized what situation you walked into? Have you been bumfuzzled? Have you been beguiled? And so, and another word for beguile is to pass time pleasantly. Have we passed our lives by pleasantly? Or have we been duped? Have we been lied to? Have we been deceived? Beguilement. Beguiler and beguiling is a couple more words, or three words that you can use. It depends on what's going on in your life. You could be the beguilement. You can be the beguiler. And we've all, if you've gotten mad and you've tried to rule and reign with anger, you are the beguiler. And so there's areas in our lives that we can look at. And beguiling is meaning you are in the mode. You're in the, you're doing it right now, and I hope to God that we could see some things. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. You know, I've always started a lot of times at the beginning of the book and preach all the way to the end of the book. So, fasten your seatbelts. I'll get you to stand up here in a little bit, because our minds can only endure what our sit-down places can endure, I think, sometimes. And I know that we've done been sitting in this room or upstairs for some time. So, let's look at This word is deceived here. God has said unto the woman, "What is it that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "That serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Have you ate of something that you shouldn't have been eating of? A lot of us don't even realize it, but we've been sitting under teachings and been eating of those teachings that are false. You know, that have told us wrongly, has guided us, and we've gone astray by thinking that whoever has been was reading to us or telling the story has deceived you. So sometimes our parents has even deceived us, because all they did was listen to the preacher that was deceiving them. You know, give me that old time religion. If it's good enough for Grandpa, it's good enough for me. Well, I think knowledge has increased, not increased, but it's been opened up more so to us than before. We've had entwining with different people, and we've been realizing that, hey, that verse means something else totally. If you want to open up a light, just take a dictionary with you and start reading through the Word. If you want the light turned on, or a Strong's Concordance. So, what happened here with Eve? Was she given instructions? Was Adam given instructions? Adam got the instructions, but he refused to say anything to his wife. He didn't tell her no. But then she held a conversation with somebody that was smooth-tongued. Have you ever run into a smooth-tongued devil? You know? Especially the young people are kind of dancing with it right now, but as we can think back into our lives, the older people has danced with people that really have gave us a song and dance, and even our government and our preachers, and sometimes our fathers and mothers. So it'd be a good time to be able to forgive those kind of people right now in Jesus' name. But anybody ever lied to you, just forgive them right now in Jesus' name. And I break every spirit of lying right now in the airways that can twist my words, that can distort what I'm trying to say to you, that will bring offense. We break it and bind it, command loose it right now in Jesus' name. Let's go to Genesis 29:25. That this beguiler, it's all through the Word. It's all through the Word. To throw down, this is the word right here. In 29, it says, "And Laban gave Rachel, his daughter, and belayed her, a handmaiden, and be in her mind to throw her down." You know, in 25, let's go back up. "And it came to pass in the morning, beheld that Leah, and she said unto Laban, 'What is this thou hast done unto me? Dost thou serve with thee for Rachel? Where is thou hast beguiled me?'" So this sister he had beguiled, and it started off something right here. You know, and over Leviticus, it really puts every part of the family together in every way that we should maintain and keep our lives separate in one area, and that is in the sexual area. You know, sisters and brothers needs to abstain from one another in that area. Uncles and nieces and nephew need to abstain from one another. We need to stay away from the wives and the husbands of our neighbors, and so stepbrothers and stepsisters. And so we could be beguiled in that area right quickly. And I don't know how a man could ever go into his own daughter, but it happens so much, and that child is beguiled. There are things like this. For instance, their spirit of whore's forehead gets on them, and they're opened up to an area that they have no protection. They have nobody to war for them. A father is supposed to be able to war for the daughter. He is supposed to be the protector. He is supposed to be the defender. He is also supposed to be the priest of his home. He's the one that's supposed to be able to speak health to you in the name of Jesus. We've got some grandchildren that come in quite often. They come in with headaches and they're asking for Tylenol and extra strength Tylenol and Advil and things of this nature. And a lot of times we don't have nothing, and so we got to rely on God. And so we just bind and break the evil soul ties between the teachers and command to loose those children, and immediately their headaches goes away. So, folks, you got the right to speak life to your children when they come home from school, because they're belittled, they're talked down to, they're even with the spirit of competition in the classroom. You know, a child feels really detriment to this situation. So, if we've got the ability to speak life to our children, and if we got ability to speak life to one another, that's where we need to be, and not be caught in this thrown down, beguiled, deceived. So let's go to Naaman 25:18. Naaman, yeah. Excuse me. Have my Arkansas accent. I think it's 968 or 996 in my Bible. The prophets had a good handle on it. We'll go there in a second, as soon as I find it. Excuse me. I can't even read my writing. Numbers 25. Huh? Yeah. We need to have a sword drill, huh? But I had a thought I was going to tell you right quick. This is not in my teaching, but this is hot off the press. The ones that are afraid of end time right now, and you've been told to read Jeremiah, Daniel, and Revelation, and you want to find the secret codes that's in them to keep you out of hot water, you're missing the point. You need to look at the lifestyle of the people who wrote the Word, who wrote that book. They were steadfast. They did not bend the knee. They did not bow. They did not turn. But they stayed fixed in towards God. They were the oracles. They spoke what God spoke. Now, just like what Carla taught this morning, it is very, very excellent. But now listen to me. The prophets understood this, the power that they had. But they only spoke what God told them to speak. And it moved, and it moved nations, and it brought down wars, or it saved a whole nation of Israel when they walked in the authority of it. Okay, sidetrack back to where we was going. Numbers 25:18. And it says, "For they vex you with their wiles, whether they be have beguiled you in the matters of Petro, or in the matters of Gaze, how you pronounce that word? Gazby? Gazby, the daughter of the prince of the Medes, and the sister which was slain in the days of the plagues of Petro's sake." Now see, there's many beguilements, and this daughter was even slain because of a situation of beguilement. So, thank God we're all still alive. You know, I don't see any dead people in here. Is there any dead people in here? At least physically they're not. We might be spiritually, but we might not. But anyway, sometimes I think I might be a little... have a little problem in that situation, but thank God, God wants to restore my mind. So, and let's go to 2 Chronicles 11:3. Beguiled. It is a strong word. It is. I think it has touched every life that is before me, and every life that your parents were beguiled in a lot of areas and situations. And so there's a big area there that we need to think about. 2 Chronicles 11:3. Okay. I'm thinking I've written down the wrong verse again. But I want to tell you, it's probably 2 Corinthians. When I wrote this down, I was about half asleep. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and rubbing my eyes, and, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses. Yeah, 2 Corinthians. Yeah. 11:3. But I fear lest by any means that a serpent beguile Eve through this his subtleness, so that the mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, sometimes we've been simple. Did we know everything all at one time? So, it started out when we was children. You know, I used to be around an uncle. He would tell me to do certain things that, and it wasn't funny. It was, you laugh, boy, he'd just get a kick out of it. One of my neighbors one time, he brought out a string of hot peppers. And he said, hey, just handle this thing, you know, just smell it a little bit. And I handed it back to him, and I says, rub your eyes. And boy, I rubbed my eyes, and I mean, he just laughed and laughed and laughed. I'm telling you what, that was torture. You know, I was beguiled, I was tricked. And it hurt. It hurt. Has anybody hurt you in any fashion like that? You know? They lied to you. They said, young guys say, well, I'm going to kick your rear, and they'll hit you right square in the mouth. So they beguiled you. You know, they told you a lie. Anybody lied to you? Anybody lied to you? So there's many ways that we get messed up. But the fact of it is, God is wanting to calm the beguiling in us, to calm the storms, calm the seriousness, the situation with finances, the situation with families. And I know everybody in here has got some family members they would not rather see. So we got to somehow come to peace with these people. You know, not get in agreements with them, but we need to come to peace to be able to give and to change and to move on. And I know the ones that's really been beguiled, I know daughters of men, they've been beguiled by their fathers. That is a real, real traumatic thing. And some of them are not even allowed to go home anymore after this happens because the parent refuses to recognize the situation that they beguiled, they tricked, they ruined, they tore down, they destroyed the mother's or the daughter's lives. And so through this spirit of incest, that is where confusion comes in. This is a lot of the times where insanity comes down the bloodline, is the beguiling of a daughter, the tricking of a daughter. And so, and then it's passed on, because hurting people hurt people. Have you ever heard the expression, you know, I was done this way, so it's good enough, whether it's good for the gander, it's good for the goose. No, it's not. You know, the buck needs to stop now. It needs to stop now that we can go free in Christ. And there's so much potential that you guys have before you that has been robbed from you that... The message this morning, if we don't realize some of these things, it'll be cut off from us. And God wants us to walk into this power, into this authority, this dominus power, that we could speak to evil forces and to command them to leave us. And a lot of us don't even realize that sometimes the enemy is in our own camp. So we need to be aware of that, you know. And so... God wants to do some things to where we can come free. Has anybody in here ever been put in jail and put in prison? I have, but I haven't. He says an angry man that's really angry of rage is arrested and put in prison, and you'll have to deliver him many times. Does anybody in here have anger or rage that comes upon them? You know, so this is the way we get put in prison, and we don't even realize it. And that's what started my quest for deliverance. I was an angry man. And I would get mad, and the next day I would just be wrung out. I mean, I wouldn't be worth nothing. I mean, I put my adrenaline got to running so quick and, you know, so fast that it just exhausts you. Have you ever been exhausted from mental pressure or anxiety or fear, pressures on the job, pressures in the family, pressures in life, pressures in school, pressures in finances, pressures of being a mother or a father? So there's all areas that if we don't watch it, that we can, the beguiler will take us and put us in prison. And so my trip, I started in a tent, and it was a sawdust floor, and we went there, and this man named Charles Thompson, he had a word of knowledge, and he prayed over me, and I was a good Baptist boy, guys, and I didn't believe in this being slayed in the spirit, and all of a sudden something happened to me, and I was knocked flat on the floor. There was nobody touching me, and when I hit the sawdust floor, I was wallowing there and throwing up, you know, and a lot of it left then, but he says if you've got this situation going on in your life, it's going to take many times to get rid of that hot button. Does anybody got a hot button? You know, I was in a cafe the other day, and this little girl, she had a hot button. And what pushed the hot button is, if you ever shook a glass of ice to get it melted down, you know, I shook this glass, and this waitress was behind me, and she went wham, open handed right on my shoulder blade. It didn't hurt a bit, but boy, did it make a noise in this cafe. And I turned all kinds of, see the color of those chairs you're sitting in? I was red, you know. So she had a quick temper, and I found her hot button. Do you have a hot button? And I know you can sit there and be got that stoic look on your face and, no, I don't have no hot button. Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, just wait. You got a hot button. And God says we need to defuse the hot buttons. You know, we need to take them and put them in the closet and then lock the door and don't never let them come out again. So these areas right here is some of the areas. You know, in the next area, I started asking questions about what was this and what was that. And then all of a sudden, I saw my children having the same problem. And I said, hey, I know where that came from. And I said, I need deliverance more. I mean, I need more of it to get rid of it. And I'm still praying that my children will start through deliverance for anger. So if it's not in you, is it in your children? If it's not in you, is it in your wife? If it's not in you, is it in your husband? You know, you just look close, and it's right there, really close. So we need to be diffused. We need to, this beguilement, this trickery, this deceit, because anger is a spirit of witchcraft. That is how witchcraft enters you. That's how witchcraft enters a person. And so, how many of you like to be witchcraft or beguiled or tricked? Just start closing the door. If Jesus abides in you, you've got the authority to close that door to that anger. To renew your mind in some areas, you know. And sometimes we get this little demon that comes around, and it's not a little one, it's a big one. It's called anxiety, fear, and stress. Anybody ever have any of those? You know? And we all do. I mean, So this is one that comes along, and it's really a cousin to that main big old anger, because anxiety is a fear you're not getting your way, fear of being caught. You know, it's better for you to come forward and confess your problem than being caught. You understand what I'm saying? One day, I got caught. I was mad at my wife, and I told the men a little earlier. And the fact of it was, I have back problems. I'd been to all kinds of chiropractors and all kinds of therapists and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, she got a word of knowledge, and she hit both my shoulders, and I hit the bed, and she mounted me, and she says, "I bind that anger and bitterness and hatred in you in Jesus' name." I was caught. Have you ever been caught doing something? It's kind of embarrassing, but it was good for me, because once I got caught, I just said, and I was totally healed right at that point, because I was caught. You know, and the thing about it is, so many people want to boo-hoo and cry and all that stuff right now, but you know, it's better for you to come forward and truly repent and confess it before you get caught, and then you get the snotty nose and red eyes and all that other stuff, you know. Because you're crying because you're not sorry. You're crying because you got caught. And so it's better to come forward. You know, Ananias got caught, you know. And Sapphira, she came right behind him, and she got caught. And what happened to him? They dropped dead, and they come in and carried him out both the same hour. But see, the fact of it is, if we would be able to come and confess early, the situation would be a lot easier on us. You would have more integrity to God, because He already knows it. You know, we all think, well, nobody knows that I've got mad. Nobody knows that I've done so and so. Nobody knows this. Nobody knows that. But guess what? Were you there? You know it. And if it was with somebody, they know it. Now, there's two more entities that was there. Satan was there. And God was there. Now, nobody knows it now. Nobody knows it. You know, just all eternity. And Satan would be more than glad to come and say, "You done so-and-so. You know, you done so-and-so." Well, some of us are listening to that same little voice that, "Well, my wife rejected me." Blah, 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 blah. We listen to that voice, and then the wife says, "Well, he rejected me." Blah, 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 blah. You just add to it, you know. And you think, well, she's dating somebody else, or he's dating somebody else, and it just keeps on going and going and going. And pretty soon you're listening to the beguiler. You're listening to the deceiver. You're listening to those fiery darts that just wanting to destroy you completely, you know. And then in areas sometimes, if you get mad at your spouse and you just hang on to them, you know, and you never forgive them, there's a thing called a gallbladder. Everybody's supposed to have a gallbladder, right? And then if you hang on to this gall, what do you think gets attacked? Gallbladder. What do you think they call this appendectomy of a gallbladder is called? You know, and we go down to these big temples called hospitals, get put in imitation death, and we offer up these gallbladders. Now, have we got away from sacrifice? Huh? I don't think so. I mean, and we say we can do anything we want to, and we're very promiscuous, you know, in our early part of life, and all of a sudden, later on, we have this liver problem. They want to diagnose it cirrhosis of the liver, and you never drink a drop, you know. But it's sexual sin. The same way with your kidneys. These are the filter systems to your body, and these sexual sins hang in these areas, and they never come out until they're confronted by the Holy Ghost or God Almighty. And so these things hang on. And the way I started learning these things, I was ministering to a man men's Bible study at this Pentecostal church, and we kept praying for arthritis, you know. I can bind the spirit of arthritis. I bind trigonosis. I bind envy. Envy is arthritis. And so I kept on binding these things, binding it, and nothing happened. And all of a sudden I got in my closet, and the Lord said, He had, the word was gonorrhea. And a straight name is claps. And they, you go down and you get some sulfur drugs and you get rid of the manifestation, but the thing hangs in your body. It never leaves. So it attaches itself to your hips. And so I asked him, I said, how old was you when you contracted gonorrhea? He looked at me and he said, who told you? Who told you? And so we dealt with it and his hips quit hurting. But I'm telling you right now, we do things through time and through years that we don't even realize that we do to ourselves. And we think, well, it's not going to hurt nobody, but, you know, this is my body. I'm going to do what I want to with it. No. And just like the young lady that may have been abused by her parents, and then she has children, and then when she gets along about in the 40s, she starts having confusion and delusions, and we have this thing called mental disorder, and then they have a child, and pretty soon that child gets up there, and she may have never been bothered by being molested or in any area, and all of a sudden she gets to that age and she starts having the same problems. See what's going on, and what's going on in the basement? We've been tricked and we've been guile. You know, it's my body. I can do what I want with it, you know. You know, and I'm going to live forever, and I won't get to be 45. I won't get to be 50. I won't get to see 60. And then we got all these ailments, and then we're going down to the doctor paying good money to become witchcraft and buy pharmakia. And they're giving you all kinds of medication now that a lot of older people, if they come off of a lot of their drugs, they would start feeling a lot better. But... and you can get prophesied over, evil prophecies. You got cancer. It says, woe unto them that give suck in last days. And it talks about the breast. And two women get mad at each other and one refuses to forgive and wind up with breast cancer. Not only that, then nodules under the arm are these places under the arm, what do they call them? Lymph glands? Yeah, lymph nodes. And we've prayed for many, many women that's come with just a cyst and bind that thing and bind the spirit of bitterness and go away. And the cyst is gone and all potential of cancer be gone. So there's a lot of areas that we beguile and we're betrayed, we're tricked by one another in situations. And so, and then I want to go to, let's go to Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, 12. And this is an area that we don't really realize, but it happens in the end times. You know, now the brother shall betray brother to death, and the father of the son, and the children shall raise up against the parents, and they shall cause them to be put to death. Now, everybody thinks this is a physical court of law. Everybody thinks this is a physical court of law. But if you start saying things about your children, this becomes a judgment, and judgment will return upon you. There's an area called the seat of judgment, and this has to do with of your rectum. For one thing, it'll cause diverticulitis. It'll cause colon cancer. It'll cause several things like that when you're sitting on a seat of judgment. So, guess what? All we have to do is forgive ourselves. And you may judge your child in any area. She's nothing but a whatever troublemaker you she or he's nothing but a disobedient whatever you know you say, and this is how we are put to death, and we don't even realize it because these things, these diseases will manifest in you, and you will never go before the judge down in the courthouse, but you go before the judge. And so these things, this is how we are beguiled and don't even realize it. This is, see, there's two courts of law. There's the kind that we got the seat in the county seat and this one right here. We got the ecclesiastical court. We've got the laws of God. And a lot of people say, well, the laws of God are done away with. Well, let's turn over to Luke chapter 12, 53. And we say that the laws of God is done away with. And I know I come out of a denomination that said that those things were done away with a long time ago. And when I started reading this, we need to come to this area right here and realize... And to realize, 12:53, and the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I sit there and watch this thing happen in my family. My nephew, he was 34 years old. He got diagnosed with colitis, and colitis turned into cancer, and the cancer metastasized and turned to his stomach, into his lungs, and to his rest of his organs, and then I started watching my sister die very shortly of 28 months later with cancer, bone cancer, same thing, because she held it against the daughter-in-law that the daughter-in-law didn't perform to where both of them demanded that she perform. Nothing happened to her. But I told my sister, you need to forgive your daughter-in-law. You need to make amends with your daughter-in-law. And she said, there's nothing between us. There's nothing between us. But when I was visiting there and trying to minister to my nephew, they wouldn't even sit in the same hospital room with one another. I mean, you know, and the room was opened up because they knew that he wasn't going to live long. And so there was no need of you know, trying to have laws and regulations and things of this nature. See, the court of law was already in action. The penalty was bitterness. The penalty was unforgiveness. The penalty, see, the court of law. And we have two sets of laws. We got the kind that's right up here in the courthouse, and then we got the spiritual law. But God says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. He says, I come to heal you. I am your healer. Taste and see. In James 5, it says, do your first works over again. Repent. And the prayers of a righteous man shall availeth much. So, guys, ladies, young men, young ladies, beware. Beware where God's wanting to take you, because you are in His care. He is a jealous God, and He's wanting you to be with Him. He's wanting to use you in a lot of areas in your family. I mean, yeah, you could be a mad, angry pirate one moment, but God needs to fix you, needs to separate you from that prison that you're in. You don't have to be in that depression. You don't have to have fibromyalgia with the headaches and the aches across your shoulders and the pain. You don't have to have cancer. You don't have to have none of this. And we go on these walks and we go on these runs, 5Ks and running for cancer, for this and that and the other, for the cure of cancer. In other words, we want to maintain our anger, and we want to maintain, no, I'm not going to give up my anger. I've got righteous indignation. You know, guess what, folks? You can come to every prayer line in the nation or in the world, and guess what? With righteous indignation, nothing's going to happen. You won't receive anything because God wants to deal with you. He wants to deal with you, this stuff. You know what I'm saying? You think, well, nobody knows. God does. He knows exactly what you've done and how you feel and what's up. But do we know who He is? Do we know what He thinks about this situation? Do we know what He thinks about that situation? Do we know God? We know of a form of God, but do we know Him? Do we know Him? You know? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, Know ye not you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And what temple are ye? He said, if ye defile that temple, I, God, will send or allow a destruction spirit to destroy you. What kind of God do we serve? But yet, He is a just God. He is a real God. He is a real God. He knows exactly what He's doing at all times. And guess what? He's got a humor. He'll let you go as far as you want to go. He'll let you do anything He wants to do. But the payday someday. You know, and say this hand right here represents sin. Represents sin. I mean, it's just everything it does is sin. You know, but all of a sudden confession comes. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit comes and convicts. He says, no man can come to God except the Holy Spirit draw him. And I showed this to the men. This hand is sin, and you confess your sin, and then it's covered up. Can you see the sin anymore? And this represents the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to wash your sins white as snow. White as snow. You know? And so, God wants to do some things. You know? And, you know, a lot of people don't even realize it, but some people, they go to church every day and they smile and they say everything's okay. And they walk in one way and walk out another way. And they're married, and one goes and sleeps at this end of the house, and the other sleeps at the end of that other house. Spiritually divorced, they never went to the court, but they're divorced. So there's some things that we need to understand that we need to come up out from how God really expects a family to be, how we need to be honest and pure and true and truthful, and be able to be quick. Be quick, because I know that nobody wants to lose their legs to diabetes, you know, and that's self-hatred, self-condemnation, this really, really guile, all kinds of cholesterol builds up in their body, and their sugar gets out of whack, and they refuse to quit doing what they were doing, and smoking or drinking or whatever adds to it, and that causes the arteries to plug up and to stop the flow, you know. And you see people in wheelchairs, and we do it to ourselves. But God says, I want to set you free from those things. I want to let you go. I want you to be able to walk and run. And, you know, what about knee surgery? And I'm not picking on anybody, but what about that? Have we failed to bow our knee to anybody in the times past? Have we refused to look at God's law about eating situations? What all have we ate in our past to cause confusion, confliction within the body? I know I never did like to eat catfish, and I went to a catfish place one time, and I ate a piece of catfish. You ever try to eat a piece of raw catfish? Boy, I mean, greasy. Yeah. Ungodly thing. Well, I got a piece of that, and I never ate another piece of catfish to this day. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not going to either. But the fact of it was, then I started realizing that scientists have done and figured out that catfish is full of mercury. What do you think mercury will do to you, to the electronics in your body? It'll start shorting out your mind. This is where Alzheimer's comes from, and some of the other diseases come from. By disobedience to God. And the ones that's in agriculture, they know that some certain types of fertilizer they put on our crops today is releasing arsenic into our streams and things of that nature. So some of the things we're eating today is not good for us. Not good for us. We had a rash of people eating clams. It was a lot of clam poisoning and oyster poisoning, and it was bad seafood. It's not the fact of eating this stuff. It's the fact that we're disobedient to God. We're disobedient to God. And it's not to become a Jew, by no means. It's not to become a sect of people. It's just to know who God is and what He expects out of us. And, you know, when I come to the truth of that, I said, "My God, forgive me. Forgive me." And I quit eating it. Not to become a Jew, not to spite anybody, because there was a reality came to me that God is a real God. You know, and He created me. He knows what makes me work. He knows what each one of you, how it works, and how frustration and how anxiety changes the chemical factors in your body, you know. And a lot of times we get stressed out and it works on the vitamin D and it depletes the vitamin D in your bodies, and not enough sunshine, not enough dairy products, and then you feel sluggish and so forth and so forth. And so we've done things, and God is a jealous God, and He was wanting to change some situations within our lives. He's wanting us to be able to turn and to become the oracles and the holy things. And Jesus Christ is the way. He came and He says, "I come to give you life and life more abundant." I said that already. I'm going to say it again. God came to give you life and life more abundant. You don't have to be in prison in your mind. You don't have to be in terminally ill to please Him. You could be sitting there breathing perfectly well, and God says it's your time, and nothing you could do. I don't care what it is. I mean, and when it's your time, He can call you. You don't have to die of a disease. You don't have to. And I know if you ever read the testimony of Smith Wigglesworth, he was a very famous minister. He was a plumber, and he came in a scene in the 30s. Or a little earlier than that, and he didn't know how to read, but he learned how to read and write by the Word, and he believed the Word. He wasn't wishy-washy. If it said it, he believed it. He said it. He spoke it. And he became a famous evangelist through that time, and every place that he went, there was healings after healings after healings. And then one day he went to a later on in his life, and his wife died, and he prayed her back to life. And she reprimanded. He said, "Don't you ever do that again." I said, "I was talking with Jesus, and you called me back out of the grave." I said, "When I go this time, you leave me alone." And so shortly thereafter, she passed on. But then there was another funeral several years later on, and he was sitting there, and he heard them whisper, "Well, if Smith Wigglesworth was here, the man wouldn't have died." And all of a sudden, he realized that they were lifting up Smith Wigglesworth more than he was Jesus Christ. He gave up the ghost and he fell over right there in that pew, and nothing wrong with him. There is a Jesus Christ. There is a God. And He loves you. He loves you. And He's not afraid to spank you bottom. He wants to correct you, but He, at the same time, He wants you to crawl up in His lap and lay upon His breast and tell Him every secret that you've got. Every secret. He already knows it. He knows it, I mean, better than you do. He was there at the same time that secret was being done. He knows it. But oh, when He sits there as the Father, He says, "Oh, I'm so pleased with you, sis. I'm so pleased with you, son, because you came to me and you told me what you've done. I forgive you. I forgive you." We serve a God that's real. And we've been playing around in church too long, and we've done this and we've done that, and one day we got the choice either to confess or get caught. I want to confess. I want to repent, because if you're a prophet, that's the only thing you can preach is repentance. Jeremiah, that's all he could say. Repent, Israel. Daniel said, "Repent." Jesus come saying, "Repent, and I forgive you. I remit your sins. I hold not this charge to you. I break the retainer right now in Jesus' name." Self-condemnation, I speak to you right now in Jesus' name. I bind and break your powers. And I break your authority. Everybody just take a big deep breath and just let it go. Self-condemnation. Because everybody's accused yourself of something. You know, even pride. I don't have nothing wrong with me. Well, yeah, you do. Pride. You know. And I'm not the one telling you that. Jesus Christ tells you that. Because He says, I hate these things, you know. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. He hates. He hates. Have you ever looked up the word hate? It's murder. Have you ever hated anybody? And you really hated somebody? That's the spirit of murder. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says, and the murderer in no well and no way shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The adulterer shall never enter into the kingdom of heaven. The reviler will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there's several others there. This is a manifestation of the flesh. And see, when we walk against Christ, we walk against God, we walk in contrary to His Spirit. We walk, you know, against the Holy Ghost. We walk against God. We shake our fist in His face and said, I'm my God. I do what I want. It's not going to work. Not going to work. God's got so much for you. He wants you to go back and speak life to your family. He wants to go back and be totally different. He wants unity in your family. He don't want you standing up in one another's face and pointing the finger at each other. And say, well, you're this, blah, 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 blah. You're not my Holy Spirit. I don't want to serve the God you serve. You're so angry. How are you going to preach Jesus Christ to somebody that comes to the door? You know what I'm saying? And right now, we just thank you. And we praise you, God. Lord, go with that situation right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We praise you. But guys, folks, He says, I want to wash you whiter than snow. I want to make the crooked way straight. I want to reign in your desert. I want to kill your sacred cows. I want to tear down your righteous indignation. I've got the right. I've got the right. I had a lady come in and want us to pray for her and started talking to her and, well, what about this? What about that? I've got the right. You know what they done to me? She was a school teacher. They wanted to fire her. They fired her. And they said, well, the only reason why they fired me was because I was preaching or spoke about Christ in the schoolroom. No, it wasn't. You know, you could just see the bitterness. You could just see the anger. You could see the disobedience just oozing out of her. And I said, well, until you take care of that situation, no amount of prayer can help you. And guys, I want to see every one of you healed, set free, you know, and on fire for God. But, you know, that's the reason why we can't overturn this world right now. We have been beguiled. We've been tricked. We've been duped. We've been told lies. But if you really get back to the real, solid, honest to God, solid fact of the Bible, we can overturn the world. We can overturn nations in your loins, and you can go free. For you and your household, for you and your household, it don't mean just you only, because everybody that you come in contact with, you will show the love of God, you will show them, and when they're sick, you'll be able to reach out and pray for them, and the Holy Ghost will give you the answer, the situation, the words right then to speak to that disease people could get up off their deathbeds. We've experienced it so many times. We've gone to the hospitals and want to go in and see the people, and they wouldn't let us in. But all we had to do was go somewhere in that same hospital, bind together and break the power and authority of it. And the person set up in the ICC unit said, how long have I been here? And they were ready to pull the plug on. You've got that power. You've got that authority. But you've got to be in tune with Christ and says, I want you to do my work, saith the Lord. And when I tell you to do something, you go and it will come to provision. It will move. It will manifest. Christ will move. And church has been playing church, and we need to come out of church into the kingdom of God where we really belong. And God wants to show each and every one of us that we have that authority. We have this ability. You know, you take the red letters in the Scripture, and right here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can read those and you can put your name in them. They're yours. They are yours. But you've got to walk in love. Don't walk in judgment. Yeah, you can see things, but let it turn to discernment. See, discernment means to understand what happened, what attacks, what is manifesting in that person, and speak to that manifestation, and it will leave. It will leave. And you come off the seat of judgment. Just like so many people have strokes today because they're mad at the authority over them. They're mad at the authority. That's where the anger just goes to all your blood rushes to your head and it pops the blood vessels. Aneurysms and strokes. Fear deals with your heart. Somebody used the word about some kind of air problem. They got a nurse here what caused a lack of oxygen to the blood, what they call it. But anyway, fear will do that. Fear works with asthma. Fear works with all kinds of breathing capacities. Anger works with all kinds of aneurysms within the body. Sexual sins work with your kidneys and your livers and those parts. Your filter system. Anger, bitterness works with the lymphatic factor in your bodies. And just what do we want to pick up? What do we want to pick up? God took all the stripes for all those situations. And He says, I took these for the healing of the nations. For the healing of the nations. You know, so what if your parents didn't want you? So what? You know, one time I was asking some questions and Jerry goes to Bill Gothard seminars a lot and used to. We went one time and the Holy Ghost started speaking to me and He said, your father tried to abort you. I said, what? You know, I was 47 years old and I was started bawling like a squalling like a whipped pup, you know, and I was bawling so bad I was shaking the pew. You know, just weeping, you know. You know, just a weeping and jerking. Because I didn't like the fact that my father tried killing me. I thought we had a good family. And then that was on a Thursday and then the conference over on Friday afternoon at 12. He said, and on the way home, he says, if you didn't believe me when I told you Thursday, your dad will be sitting on the porch next door and I want you to go tell him. I said, what? And as I drove in, guess where my dad was sitting? He was looking right straight at me. And then he said, I want you to go tell him. And I went and told him. And he said, who told you? Admitted it. He broke and cried. And I told him, Father, I forgive you. I forgive you in Jesus' name. I don't know how he received it. I know he wept and walked away. I don't know if he dealt with it. But I know one thing, there was something in the heavens broke for me. Because some of you, abortion spirits have been put on you. You know, maybe not directly on you, but it's in your bloodlines. And these things, all these things need to be dealt with. So, you've been listening to me for quite a while. I want you, everybody, to stand up and wiggle around. I know that a few of you are just trying to nod off and I need to get some blood flowing back to your lower posterity. We thank you and we praise you and glorify you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for all the things that you've pricked the people's hearts with, God.
Yes.
I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you. But God, we give you the power and the authority right now to deal with our hearts. Lord, with my heart also, God. We just thank you, God. I just ask you to come in and walk up and down these aisles, God. We just praise and glorify you in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I take the power and authority which was in this camp, and I pray for the folks right now. I bind the beguiler right now. I bind you, Satan. I bind every trick, every work, every word that you've spoken to him right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, as you feel fit, you can sit down and just relax. You don't have to stand up. But if you want to stand, go ahead and remain standing. But Lord, we bind this beguiler right now in Jesus' name. We thank You. We praise You and glorify You. We come against the one in sin that started from a long, long time ago. We come against the spirit of incest. I break the power and authority of incest right now in Jesus' name. All incest, I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Command of being broken right now in schizophrenia. I speak to you right now in Jesus' name. All mental torment, I bind and break your powers and command you to loose your people right now. Schizophrenia, I speak to you right now. I speak to that storm. I speak to it right now. Poseidon, I bind you and break your powers and authority in the name of Jesus. Command to loose the people right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All relationships with your brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. All sexual contact with your sisters and brothers, I bind and break the power and authority of it right now in Jesus' name. In blood covenants, I break it and command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. Loose them right now in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Everybody just take a big deep breath and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Give a courtesy breath because somebody right standing next to you might be caught in this situation and they're too prideful to let it go. We just speak to it right now in Jesus' name. Command to loose us. Come out of them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All deceived, being deceived in every area of sexual contact in Jesus' name. I break it and bind it. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. Loose them right now. Loose them in Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. You beguiler, you come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We break your power, break your authority right now. All anger and rage, come out right now. Anger, I speak to you. Anger and rage, come out right now. All anger, deep wrath, deep rage, go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Angry at your mother, angry at your father, angry at your brother, angry at your sister, angry at your family, angry because you're not a woman, angry because you're not a man. I break the power and I break the authority right now in Jesus' name. Angry that you're not rich. Angry that you was born to the family that you was in. Disassociated with the nationality you are. I bind and break the power and authority of it in the name of Jesus. Command to loose these people right now. Loose them from the top of their head right now into the sole of feet in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of beguiling in Jesus' name over them right now. Where this is in situation in Jesus' name. All grief. Bind the spirit of grief right now. You come out of them right now. Sorrow and grief. Come out of the liver. Come out of the kidneys. Come out of the eyes. Behind the eyes in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Move up. Give me a coffin and come on out of there. Move up. Come out right now in Jesus' name. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. Come on out of there. All grief. All grief in all situations. Grief in financial situations. I bind and break your powers. Break your authority. Command to loose you right now. In Jesus' name. Go. Go. Come on out of there. Come on out of there right now in Jesus' name. Move up. Come out right now in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you and glorify you in Jesus. All hatred of God. All people that hate God in Jesus' name. In spirit of Antichrist, I bind and break your powers in Jesus' name. All distrust of God right now in Jesus' name because of a man bothering you in the name of Jesus. All distrust of God, come out right now in Jesus' name. Give me a big breath. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. All inability, sleepless and despair right now. You just roll and tumble on your beds at nighttime. I bind and break the power and authority of it in the name of Jesus. Command to come out right now. All sleepless in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind and break your power. I break that high torment, that tormentor. I bind that tormentor at nighttime and in Jesus' name. I break it and bind it. Command loose in Jesus' name. All night terrors. Afraid to go to sleep. I bind and break your powers and command loose you right now in Jesus' name. Go, go in Jesus' name. I break it and command loose you right now in Jesus' name. All hostility. Hostility, I bind and break in Jesus' name. Hostile to every situation in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of spoiler in the name of Jesus that causes this hostile situation where you've been spoiled, where you've been beguiled and tricked in Jesus' name. I break it and bind it in Jesus' hostility in Jesus' name. All aggression Aggression, I speak to the aggression in Jesus' name. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and authority in Jesus' name. All spirits of conflict in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Quick to rail, quick to come back, quick to defend yourself. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All fear. Fear of man. I break your powers. I break your authority. Fear of women. Go right now in Jesus' name. All haters of men. I bind and break your powers and authority in the name of Jesus. All fear, haters of women. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of others. All fear. A fear of everybody that comes close to you in the name of Jesus. All fear. Magabisabib. Fear on every side. Fear of finances. Fear of failure. Fear of stepping up and being the man you're supposed to be. Fear of stepping up and being the woman God desires you to be. In Jesus' name. All fear. I bind and break the power and authority of the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All suspicion. Suspicion right now. I bind the spirit of suspicion in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and authority. Command, loose you right now. Suspicion in Jesus' name. What is this person trying to do? What is he going to do? What do they want in Jesus' name? Suspicion. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All frustration. I bind frustrations in every area of life right now in Jesus' name. Frustrated about finances. Frustrated about finances. Frustrated with cars. Frustrated with relationships. Frustration with pastors. Frustration with yourself in Jesus' name. All self-condemnation and frustration there in Jesus' name. I break it in binding command and loose you right now. All insensitivity in Jesus' name. Too sensitive in Jesus' name. Not sensitive enough. I bind and break your powers and break your authority in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come in. I bind and break the control right now. Beguiler, I speak to you right now and come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Depression. I bind you spirit of depression right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of depression in Jesus' name. I'm losing everything. I'm going to the garden to eat worms in Jesus' name. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I bind that depression and depression in Jesus' name. All spirits of an oppressor in Jesus' name. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of oppression, go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Move up and come out. Give me a cough. Give me a big deep breath. Blow it out. Come on. In Jesus, you've either been oppressed or the oppressor. In Jesus' name, one of the two. Go. Come on out of there. Come on out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind you, spirit of tormenting thoughts. Tormenting thoughts. I bind and break your power. I break your authority of tormenting thoughts right now. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Move up and come out. Move up and come out. Come on. Move up, come out right now. All tormenting thoughts in every area of your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All troublemakers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Troublemaking in the family in Jesus' name. All just disrupting the family in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of insanity. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Troublemaker, I command you, loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All fiery darts that causes this trouble. I bind you, fiery dart, in Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All double-mindedness, come out right now in Jesus' name. I break your powers and associate you with it in Jesus' name. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. I speak to this double-mindedness in Jesus' name. It's like a ship without a sail. I bind it and break the power. All mental confusion, I bind and break the power. Command loose you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I bind you spirit of fear, everywhere in Jesus' name. Go. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And inabilities to hear, deaf and dumb, deaf. I speak to you, deaf, right now. In Jesus' name, I speak to the hammer. I speak to the anvil. I speak to the gestation tubes right now. In Jesus' name, now I speak to you, witchcraft, where you refuse to hear the word of God. I speak to it right now and bind and break the power and break the authority of it. When we was children and we did not hear, we refused to hear. I speak to that witchcraft. They entered into us a long time ago. In Jesus' name, where we refuse to hear our spouses, I bind and break the power and authority. And they're crying, and we don't hear. We bind that spirit of deafness right now in Jesus' name. Go, go right now in Jesus' name. We bind it and command it loose us right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and glorify you in Jesus. We bind all spirits of false gods, the voices that speak to us as false gods in Jesus' name. I bind and break your power in Jesus' name. Come out of the joints. Come out of the joints right now. Come out of the rotary cups. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Move up and come out. All false gods right now in Jesus' name. And, where we refuse to help somebody with our arms in Jesus' name, I bind and break the power and authority. Command it. Come out of those rotary cups right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you. All false gods. I detest carrying that for them. In Jesus' name. I detest helping them. In Jesus' name. I bind that detestment in Jesus' name. Loose their joints. Loose their hands. Loose their hips, loose their ankles, loose their knees in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and authority of it in the name of Jesus. Go! Come out right now. Come on out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All spirits of running from God. The spirit of running, walking in the name of Jesus. Walking away from God in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and I break the authority. I break the manifestations. I break the diseases that comes along with it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind it, break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of falling asleep in church in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of pride. And pride, I speak to it right now in Jesus' name. I speak to it, refusing to hear. I bind and break the power of falling asleep in church right now in Jesus' name. You spirit of pride, I speak to you right now in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost has caught you. The Holy Ghost has caught you. In Jesus' name, go. Right now, in Jesus' name. Spirit of falling asleep in church, go. Come out right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you. In Jesus' name. We bind that spirit of religious spirit right now, in Jesus' name. We bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. They want to point their finger at everybody else and not realize it's them is the problem. We thank you. We praise you, glorifying. Religious spirit, I speak to you right now. Go. Come out right now. All religious spirits in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out right now. Move up and come out right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the spirits that stopping you from reading the Word right now in Jesus' name. I bind you and break your power. In Jesus, fault finder, I speak to you right now. All fault finding in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. I break it and bind and loose you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of dumb, deaf and dumb in Jesus' name. Loose their minds, loose their tongues in Jesus' name. I release it to them that they can read the Word out loud to themselves in Jesus' name. I speak to them, I release it to them right now. That they can go somewhere and read it out loud where they can use their senses, their three senses in Jesus' name. We speak ability to read in Jesus' name the Bible that will set them free. I bind the spirit of rebellion. All rebellion right now, I bind and break the power of rebellion in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. The sin of witchcraft is spirit of rebellion right now in Jesus' name. Every place that you rebelled against the Word is the spirit of witchcraft. I bind the spirit of witchcraft. And I suffer not the witch, the spirit of the witch not to live in anybody anymore within this room right now. I bind up that spirit right now. You spirit of stubbornness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, where their heels just dug in and they're resisting all the way and God's pulling you. And I speak to the spurs and the heels in Jesus' name. All stone bruise on their feet right now. All places of callus on their heels right now. I speak to it right now in Jesus' name. Your stubbornness, I bind and break your power and authority in the name of Jesus. All disobedience to God, I speak to disobedience in every area of your life in the name of Jesus. When He tells you to go, that you didn't go. When He told you to stop, well, you didn't stop. When He told you to turn to the right, you didn't turn to the right in Jesus' name. When He told you to come back, you didn't come back. When you didn't turn to the left, I speak to you right now in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of stubbornness in Jesus' name. go, in disobedience to God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It says to study the Word, apply it to your heart, day and night. I bind and break your power of stubbornness in that area, in Jesus' name. Applying the Word to your heart, in Jesus' name. We break it and bind it, command loose you right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Losing interest in God's Word, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind all false prophecy that has been spoken to you. In Jesus' name, I bind it, break the power and authority of losing interest to the Word of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Going after false teachers, in Jesus' name, I bind and break the power and authority in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and authority of every false prophecy that you're going to become a great evangelist when He will just wanting you to become an intercessor. I bind and break the power and authority in Jesus' name. He first wants to have a relationship with you in Jesus' name. I release that relationship to you, and then as He restores you, He will firmly equip you for any job that He wants you to go to in Jesus' name. I bind all His religious spirits in Jesus' name. We thank You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I pray for relationships, in relationships. No praying, no interceding, no talking to God about relationships. In Jesus' name. Every young man ought to be praying for his spouse. Every mother and father should be praying for his spouse. Every man and woman needs to be praying for their grandchildren in advance. In Jesus' name, we need to be praying for our daughters, for their sons before they ever get married. And bind and break the power and authority of lack of understanding in that area. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank You. We praise You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. I release into them all we can do, all things through Christ who strengthens us right now in Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of Jezebel. Jezebel, in Jesus' name. I bind and break your power. I break your authority. Witchcraft, I speak to you right now in Jesus' name. Witchcraft, go. Go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Queen of the heavens, go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. All Queen of the heavens, go, come out right now in Jesus' name. I bind you and command you loose them right now. Now you spirit of Ahab, you men think you're going to get by with it. Nope, Ahab, you lackadaisical, you climb up on your bed, stick your thumb in your mouth. Woman, you go do it. I bind you and break your power and command you loose right now in Jesus' name. Ahab, command you, come out right now. I call you forth for the man that you're supposed to be in the spiritual end area of your house. In Jesus' name. We thank You. We praise You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name. Glory to the King. Thank You, Lord. And we call forth for Jehu right now to come with his horses and trample this union under feet, Father. Just, Lord God, You tear down who You want to tear down and You raise up who You want to raise up. And God, when You're through tearing down, Lord, raise them back up in the name of Jesus. We thank You. We praise You. Glorify You. Lord, I speak to every man that's at home right now in the name of Jesus that didn't come with their spouses. I say, Holy Ghost, go to them right now in Jesus' name. I thank You and I praise You to glorify You right now. God, arrest them. Turn them around, God. Open up the Word. Lord, let them have dreams and visions, God, of what they're supposed to be doing in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in the family. We thank You. We praise You. Glorify You right now in Jesus' name. Lord, give the women dreams and visions of what they're supposed to be doing. In Jesus' name. Lord, needs to build up their husbands instead of tearing them down. We thank You. We praise You. Glorify You. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, sick them. Sick them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, do the work. Do the work, Father. We praise You and glorify You. Because we call forth for their souls. We call forth for their salvation, Lord. We call forth them into the kingdom of heaven. We thank You. We praise You and glorify You. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bind every sexual sin right now in Jesus' name. Command to loose the people. Loose them right now. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise You and glorify You. In Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.